no lights back there at all until you get into the restroom. So, yeah. So let's open with a word of prayer, shall we? Heavenly Father, I just invite your presence into this place this morning. We know that we don't have any electrical power here today, Lord, but we have your power that can fill this room, Lord. We just invite your presence today. We worship you today in Jesus' name. Amen.
Can we just stand to our feet?
Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you war evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Come then for cleansing to Calvary's tide. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Sing that again. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be whiter, yes, whiter than snow? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Sin stains are lost in its life-giving flow. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. One more time. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you do service for Jesus your King? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you live daily His praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. There is power, 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 wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, 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 wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Sing it again. There is power, 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 wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, 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 wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Glory, can we give a clap offering of praise to our King? Amen. Even though there's no power here today, there's power in the blood. Hallelujah. If we could, let's greet one another this morning here.
I don't know.
I
Well, welcome, everybody. I got a buzz. Okay.
All right. I forgot to mention the deadline of the...
Yes. Got it. Thank you. How are you? Good to see everybody. So if this is your first time here today, welcome. I'm really glad you're here. This is not our normal setup or our normal way of doing things. We're flying by the seat of our pants today. So enjoy the ride. In your worship guide is a communication card. If this is your first time here with us today, you can pull this out, fill it out with some of your information, place it in the offering basket. When it comes by at the end of the service, that would be terrific. We're just going to get a little bit of information about you. Also, if you've moved, if your address changes, if you have a change of email address, anything like that, you can put it on this card and place it in the offer basket. That way we can update our records. That'd be great. A few things I want to update you on, things coming up here at the church. First of all, last night I sent out an email, for those of you who are on our email list, about Jeff and Lindsay Dolan's son, Nash, who was taken to the hospital last night. He was at dinner and got dizzy, I guess, and had a seizure and fell and hit his head. And so they rushed him to the hospital. They ran a bunch of tests, and Lindsay wanted me to pass along to everybody, thank you for your prayers. Nash is back at home. He's resting. Everything's fine. They think maybe he was dehydrated, something like that. So that's exactly what we were praying for, is that they would not find anything wrong and everything would be hunky-dory. So Nash is at home resting, and just keep praying for his health and the health of that whole family. That'd be great. A few things on your Pathway Happenings sheets. First of all, we've got our our Adopt-A-Family for Christmas campaign that we're doing. We are adopting two families for Christmas that have children here at Coronado School during the week. And there's a giving tree back there in the back of the sanctuary. If you want to go back there after the service, pick a tag off the tree, go buy the item. There's a lot of stuff left on there that needs to be purchased. The deadline to bring stuff to the church is the 29th of November, because they gotta inventory it all and wrap it all and get it to the family in time. So there's some food items there. There's presents that some of the kids and the parents of those families need and want and are, you know, hoping that we will be able to bless them with. And this is a great opportunity for us as a church to be able to reach out to our community and show God's love to the people around us. And this is a very real way that we can do that. So after the service, stop by the Giving Tree, pick up a thing. And if you've already picked up a tag, buy the item, get it here by the 29th, because that's the deadline for it, okay? Also, women's breakfast is next Saturday, and so you can sign up at the women's resource table thing there. There's a sign-up sheet for that. You can sign up there for that next Saturday. Also, tomorrow night is a fellowship night for the women with the coffee, so information about that in your worship guide as well. Next Sunday, right, November 22nd, is going to be our Thanksgiving service. So I want you all to be here. We're going to have a special presentation. Our children's ministries is going to be performing during the service, a song and some special things. And so it's going to be a spectacular time of just giving thanks to God for everything that He has done in our lives over the past year and more, and doing in our church. And we're just going to be thanking Him for that, expressing our thanksgiving. So be here next Sunday for our Thanksgiving service. Invite your friends, invite your family, invite your neighbors. Let's get a big crowd out here next Sunday for our Thanksgiving service. And there's kids, cute little kids doing a song. How can people pass that up, you know? We got to get that going. So that was weird. That was almost power. There's power in the blood. Also, finally, in your worship guide, we have the Oro Valley Holiday Parade coming up in December. The date has changed. So listen up. It's no longer on December 5th. The holiday parade is now on December 12th. So mark that on your calendars. Make yourself available that Saturday. We're going to have a float in the parade. We're going to have people walking behind the float, shaking hands, smiling at people, handing, you know, little things about our church out to the people in the crowd. It's always a great way to get our name out there in the community and kind of spread the word that God loves people and wants to be a part of their lives. So it's a great opportunity, again, to reach out to our community. So Hopefully you can join us there at the Oro Valley Holiday Parade on December 12th. We'll have more information about that as it goes. So let's all stand together now, and let's continue to worship the Lord together.
Beyond our galaxy, you are holy.
your voices up to Lord of heaven and earth. You are Lord of heaven and earth. You are Lord of heaven and earth. Sing that again, sing hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Called by Scripture to be holy. God tells us, be holy because I'm holy. How do we do that? It's not possible for us ourselves on our own to be holy, to be perfect, to meet the standards that God has set for us. Only by the power of Jesus' blood shed on the cross that washes away our sin. It's the only way that we can meet that standard and appear as holy and blameless in His sight. The grace of God is what makes that possible. We're going to enter into our ministry of prayer. Now, if our prayer teams, it's a little bit cramped up here, so I'm going to ask the prayer teams to come off to the left side of the auditorium here and just be available. If you need prayer for anything at all, anything on your mind, come to the prayer teams and just let them agree with you. I'm talking today about the power of prayer in our message. It's a great way to practice what I'm going to preach. Because prayer has power. Come and be prayed for. Kneel before God. Whatever you need to do to hear from God today.
Yes.
Let's worship the Lord together.
Holiness, holiness is faithfulness, faithfulness is what I long for. Faithfulness is what I need, is what I need. Faithfulness, faithfulness is what you want.
That part again as we break before our King.
Brokenness, brokenness is what I long for. Brokenness is what I need. Brokenness, brokenness is what you want for me. what you want. So take my heart and form it. Take my mind, transform it. Take my
Thank you, worship team. You can be seated. Looks like we got power back. And it's appropriate because I'm talking to you today about the power of prayer. So it's really kind of ironic that this is happening on this day. But we're finishing up today a series that we've been going through over the past month on going back to basics, right? We've been talking about how important it is to sometimes take a step back and just go back to the roots of where we were at when we first accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior. The basic things, the basic principles that we learned back then that helped us grow in our walk with God. And if we practice these things I'm talking about in this series, then we can have healthy spiritual lives. It's very easy to get distracted sometimes in our lives and obsessed and we take our eyes off of where they need to be. So remember a month ago we talked about tag time alone with God, and how important it is to spend some time with God every day, reading His Word, meditating on it, talking to Him in prayer, communicating with God. And hopefully you guys have started practicing that. If you weren't already, you've been in the Word. You've been talking to God. You've been telling Him your concerns. You've been spending tag time. Then a couple of weeks ago, I talked to you about sharing your faith, right? And how important it is to be out there and be vocal about your faith and about your relationship with God, with other people, so that when people see you and notice that you're different, it's not just that you're different. It's why. It's because you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so how important it is to be out there talking to people. Hopefully you've been looking for opportunities to talk to people about your faith, and you've been keeping your eyes open for them, and then when those opportunities have arisen, you have had the boldness to step out and say what God is putting on your heart for that particular person. Sharing your faith. Last week we talked about serving and how important it is to be involved, and now Jesus was a servant for us. He gave up everything for us to die on that cross. He humbled himself. He served his disciples by washing their feet. And we talked about how important it is to be involved in service for God's kingdom. How important it is to be involved in your local church body. And we're looking at all of these aspects through the life of Jesus himself. That's how we're looking at each of these basic principles of the Christian faith, because Jesus practiced each of these things. And our verse, we don't have a projector today, so you guys are going to have to know this verse by heart. That's right. Yeah, the real test. And it is 1 John 2:6. Do you guys know it? 1 John 2:6. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. Yes. So whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. You've got to be looking at Jesus' life and seeing what principles you can draw out of that you can apply to your own life. And that's where we're getting these back to basics that we're talking about. Today I'm going to talk to you about the power of prayer. And if you want to write one thing on your note sheet today, here's what I want you to write. At the top, in big, bold letters, write, "Prayer has power." Prayer has power. Write it in bold letters, underline it, circle it, put stars next to it, whatever you got to do. If you get one thing out of the sermon today, prayer has power. We have this resource available to us that we can tap into. We've just got to tap into it. And looking at Jesus, we know that Jesus spent a lot of time in prayer, right? Because those who claim to live in him must walk as Jesus did. Let's look at Jesus. Jesus used prayer for a lot of different things. Jesus used prayer to recharge his spiritual batteries. Jesus used prayer to protect those under his care. You know, we had a men's breakfast yesterday morning, and those of you who were there, you know that we talked about, as fathers, how important it is to be covering our families and our wives and our children in prayer, because God has placed those people under your care. And Jesus did the same thing in John 21. We saw him praying for his disciples, and we saw him praying for us. Jesus prayed for the people who were going to eventually be called Christians. You can read John 21 and see he's praying for you right there. And so Jesus was praying for those under his care. Also, Jesus used prayer to praise his heavenly Father. He used prayer to express submission to the Father. And he used prayer to express his anguish, right? When he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he knew what was going to happen in the next 24 hours, how much torture he was going to go through, and how he was eventually going to die. He was crying out to God in the garden, his anguish. So we know that Jesus knew the power of prayer. He was in communication with his heavenly Father. He was tapped into that resource that we also can tap into. Everyone has access to this power. All of us have access to the same power that Jesus did through prayer. James 5, the end of verse 16 and verses 17 and 18, says, "The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops." Elijah, one of the greatest prophets in the Old Testament, James is saying here, Elijah was just a dude. He was just a guy. But he realized the power that was at his disposal. He realized that through prayer, he could draw on the unlimited power of the God of the universe. And that was at his disposal. And he prayed, and it didn't rain for 3.5 years. Prayed again, it rained. And he was just a dude. Everyone has access to this power. But there's a few requirements if you want to tap into the power of prayer. A few requirements you got to know. First of all, you got to have faith. George Michael song, right? Got to have faith, the faith, the faith. Yeah? I do a little dance, but I won't. You got to have faith. You can't just talk to God and say, okay, move that mountain over there. No, you got to know when you're praying that God can and will do what you're asking him to do. Matthew 17, verses 19 and 20. This is Jesus is talking to his disciples here, and they have just tried to cast a demon out of some guy, and it didn't work. And they brought the demon to Jesus, and Jesus just went, cast the demon out. Verse 19, the disciples came to Jesus in private, because they didn't want to go to him in public because it was embarrassing. They came to him in private and they asked, "Why couldn't we drive it out?" He replied, "Because you have so little faith. I tell you the truth, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you." So if you have the faith as small as the mustard seed, is a tiny, tiny little thing. If you have faith that tiny, you could say to a mountain, "Move from there to there." And it's going to happen. But you got to believe. You got to have faith. You got to know that God can act on your behalf. You got to have faith. Second requirement for tapping into the power of prayer, you gotta ask. Can't tap into the power of prayer without the prayer. Right? You gotta ask. Matthew 7:7-8. It says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Right? Seek. Ask. Knock. You gotta ask. And on the flip side, James 4:2, second part of James 4:2 says, you do not have because you do not ask God. So if you ask, you receive. If you don't ask, that's why you don't have it. Gotta ask. Gotta have faith. You gotta ask. That's how you tap into the power of prayer. Why do we need this power? There is a war going on all around us. Spiritual warfare. You can't see it. Sometimes you can sense it, right? Sometimes you can feel it. Sometimes you know that what's happening is spiritual warfare. But I'm telling you right now, forces of God are battling against the forces of Satan, and they're clashing right over this very room. They're in battle right now. Your souls are safe if you're saved, but they're battling for this community. They're battling for Tucson, battling for Catalina. Forces of God, the forces of the devil are clashing in spiritual warfare. And we have the power of prayer at our disposal to use as a weapon in that war. We have the power of prayer. 2 Corinthians 10:4 says, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We have power at our disposal to demolish strongholds, to come against the devil and his forces, and resist him, take territory for God's kingdom. It's the power that we have at our disposal. We talked about a month ago, we were talking about tag time. We talked about the armor of God passage in Ephesians 6, right? We talked about the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, and all these things. We said that the Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. We talked about how the Word of God is the only offensive weapon that's in that list, right? But right after that description of the armor of God, in Ephesians 6, verse 18, says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. So prayer is another offensive weapon that we have in this battle against the devil. Spiritual warfare going on. There's battles taking place. We need to get into the fray. We need to jump in, not run away. I'll tell you what. When I accepted the position of senior pastor at Pathway about 6 months ago, Dick Moser came to me and he said, you know what we need to do? He was reading through 2 Samuel and the Kings, and he said, you know, David had these mighty men His seven mighty men that were his generals. He was taking them into battle. They were the great warriors of King David. And he said, I want to talk to some of the guys in the church and set up seven mighty men of prayer. Men who will go to battle for you, Pastor Doug, against the devil and his forces that are going to try to come against you. Because as a leader in the church, as senior pastor, I'm on the front lines, right? I'm the one getting shot at. And so Dick came up with this amazing God-inspired idea of these men who, there's seven men, so one guy per week, or one guy per day of the week is praying for me and my family, protecting, putting an edge of protection around me and my family, praying for inspiration and wisdom and leadership. And it's an incredible God-inspired idea. And that has made a difference in my life. It's made a difference in this church. And that is the power of prayer. That's spiritual warfare going on, being waged by these men. If you want to get in on this, talk to Dick, because I'd like 12, 80 men of prayer. I'd use all the help I can get, right? But these men are going to battle. They're going into battle against the devil. Spiritual warfare. They know the power of prayer. And as your leader, as your pastor, I'm also going to battle for you. We talked about how Jesus was praying for those under his care. As Pathway of Hope, you guys have been placed under my care as pastor. So every day I go down our church directory and I pray for a different family in the church. And if I have your email address, I email you and I say, just wanted you to know I prayed for you today and this is specifically what I prayed for. Let me know if there's something specific going on that I need to be lifting up for you, because that's one of my most significant roles as pastor, I believe, is coming alongside you and praying for your needs, going to battle for you. Prayer has power. If I don't have your email address, I can't email you. Write it down on the communication card. Put it in the offering plate. I'm still praying for you. I just can't tell you I'm praying for you. So, prayer has power. I'm praying for you guys. When I was in the summer of my... summer before my senior year of high school, I went on a missions trip to Europe with a big group of people. And what we did was we traveled around in these buses to different campsites all throughout Europe. And in these campsites, we kind of got together and did these little shows, these presentations of the gospel. We used puppets, we used drama, we used singing. We had these really cool presentations that we put together that brought a lot of people to the Lord. But one of the things that we did before any of our presentations in these campgrounds is we would break up into pairs and we would walk through the campgrounds and we would go on a prayer walk, basically. We'd just be praying as we walked through the campground, praying for the specific people we saw, praying for, you know, anything that the Spirit brought to our hearts and our minds to pray for. And one of the most exciting things that I remember doing during that time was we were walking through these campgrounds and the Holy Spirit would put on our hearts, put an angel right there. So we would pray that God would just place an angel right there on that spot, on that intersection in the campground or by that tent or whatever. You know, we'd place them over there. We'd place angels over there. And by the time we were done, you could almost physically see all these angels spread out through the campground. And I like to envision them, you know, with their wings spread out behind them, you know, like in the movies, and it's sword drawn, you know, ready for battle. These angels are just ready for battle. The enemy's not going to get in there. And it was just a really vivid image of the power that prayer could have. And we saw so many people come to Jesus. And it was just, you could sense the peace in the air. You could sense the Spirit's presence over our whole presentation. Because the devil wasn't getting in there. It's the power that prayer has. Let me tell you, church family. December 1st will be 6 months that I've been your senior pastor. Time flies, huh? It doesn't seem like it's been that long. So far, over the past 6 months, we've been in transition. We've been going through the change in leadership, and we've been getting our feet wet with some of the stuff that God wants us to do. Let me tell you, folks, we are on the verge of something amazing. God is ready to move in our church. God is ready to move in our community. We are on the verge of something amazing. But we cannot do it on our own. We have to tap into the power that's available to us. The power of prayer. The limitless resources of our Heavenly Father. We can tap into that. God's getting ready to move in our church. I don't know if that means growth in numbers. I don't know. I don't know if that means a building. I don't know. But I'm ready. I'm listening. I'm waiting. And I know that if we come together in prayer and we tap into that power that I'm talking about, God will move. Amen. I'll tell you what. God is more concerned about reaching the souls out there than he is about us having a building. God is more concerned about the souls out there than he is about our church exploding with growth with Christians that have come from other churches because they hear we're doing something cool. God wants to reach them. We're on the verge. Something amazing. But we've got to come together. The power of prayer. Tap into it. Let God use you as a conduit to accomplish his perfect will in an imperfect world. So my challenge to you this week, every week I've been giving you a challenge, right, to fulfill during the following week. My challenge to you this week is to prayer walk through your neighborhood. Just like I said I did in those campgrounds in Europe. Prayer walk through your neighborhood. You may be limited by your physical capabilities right now. If that's true, step out your front door, start praying for the houses you can see from there. But if you are physically able, physically walk your neighborhood. Pray for your neighbors. Pray for the homes that you see. Pray for the people that are walking on the street, people that are out working in their yards. You don't have to talk to them. Just pray for them. Be open to the Spirit, though. If God leads you to talk to somebody, be bold enough to walk up and do it. If God gives you a specific something specific on your heart to pray for in a specific instance in front of a certain home, pray for that. Be open to God and what he wants to accomplish in your community. We were talking, like I said, at men's breakfast yesterday about how husbands should be praying for their wives and families, praying for those under their care. And the subject of authority came up. How the man has authority, spiritual authority over his wife's body, over his children. You also have authority over the territory where you've been placed by God. You've been placed in a specific neighborhood for a specific reason. Take advantage of that. Walk your neighborhood sensitive to the Spirit and pray for what God lays on your heart. It's my challenge to you this week. Who's in? Let me see a share of hands. Who's going to prayer walk their neighborhood this week? Yes. All right. On your sermon note sheet, you can write your name. It's like we've been doing the last couple of weeks. Say you're going to take this challenge when the offering plate comes by in a few minutes. And you can place that in the offering plate just so that I know that I'm getting through to you. And I know to specifically be praying for you as you're doing these prayer walks, that God will reveal specific things to you to be praying for, and that you will have an impact in your community for the kingdom. Prayer has power. Tap into it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we know that you have unlimited power, and that you are God of wonders. Lord, right now we just want to tap into that power in our own lives to conquer the things that are overwhelming in our own lives, Father. And we also want to tap into that power of prayer for our communities and the people around us, our families, Lord. We want to make an impact for you. And we can only do that through the power that is unleashed through our prayer. So Lord, use us as conduits to accomplish your will in the world. We submit to you. We surrender to you. Use us, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
If we could, let's all stand together. Let's proclaim how wonderful our God is. Amen. There we go.
Whoa.
are so holy, you are holy, holy.
We sing this song one more time while we worship the Lord with his tithes and our offerings. Let's say a word of prayer for that, shall we? Lord Jesus, thank you so much for the way you provided for our church, Lord, and for us as individuals. I pray that you bless these tithes and offerings. Continue to take care of us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
You're God of wonders beyond our galaxy. You are holy, holy.
God of wonders, God of wonders beyond that galaxy.
You are holy, holy. The universe declares your majesty. You are holy, holy.
Sing that again. You are holy.
You are Lord of heaven and earth, Lord of heaven and earth. You are Lord of heaven and earth, Father, Lord of heaven and earth.
Just sing hallelujah.
Dismiss you this morning with Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen? All right. You're dismissed, church family.
What I long for, holiness is what I need. It's a world.